Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Joe Heschmar is our guest both hours. 888-318-7884 is the number. And Joe Heschmar, well, first of all, let me, just in case you are one of the four people who doesn't yet know about Joe Heschmar, Shameless Popery is his podcast and YouTube channel, and it's super popular, and you should check it out. ShamelessJoe.com, or just type in Shameless Popery. No one else is doing anything called Shameless Popery. He's the only one. You will find him. And it's not Popery. It's Popery. Like, the Joe is a shameless papist. Also the author of a whole bunch of great books and some others. And Joe Heschmar, welcome.
It's good to talk to you, I suppose.
I guess so. Well, a couple of things. First of all, I was delighted to see you in Salt Lake City a few days ago.
Yeah, it was fun doing the show in person. It's going to be a heavy quotation marks around live, because in one sense, it was the most live show we've ever done. We were right there taking people's questions. But on the other hand, it was also pre-recorded. So I don't know when that one's coming out. But
I don't think we know. No, I don't even know if we've gotten the – do we have a recording yet? No, they got to give us the recording. We don't have the recording yet. We were at the SEEK conference. SEEK, a wonderful conference put on by the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And they all come. All the Catholic University students come. They were all there. I think – I did not do a precise head count, but it seemed like to me it was 1 billion young Catholics.
Well, yeah,
does that seem about
like
right?
That. I heard the number of 17,000, but if you told me a billion, feeling-wise, I could understand that. Certainly when everybody's moving around all at once, it had that experience. You know what I wasn't ready for? Realizing how old I am by how late everybody stayed up.
Oh, come on.
Mass is 8:30 in the morning, and they're going strong until 11, 11:30 at night.
No, that's...
And so, you know, you're there, you're meeting and greeting, you're talking to people, and... Everybody, I think the Catholic Answers people and everybody who was there and kind of like the vendor side, or just like the grown-ups who were there talking to all of the college students,
were like, good night.
They put us through the ringer. They know how to party.
I don't know the last time I saw 11:30 at night. I didn't even know that they were still doing that. I didn't know the clocks were still going that high. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Joe Heschmar, our guest. Joe, I don't know that I can go to calls until I comment on that sweater. did anyone you love give you that sweater?
I got the approval to get this sweater from my wife. So I was at TJ Maxx after Christmas Day, I should say. And it was on sale for like $13. And it's so strong.
It looks like maybe a sweater that the Golden Girls would have worn for Christmas. I feel like that's a Golden Girls sweater.
It's got like a furry Santa on it. It's got, I mean, it is... It's tacky at another level, and I sent her a picture, and I was convinced she was going to say what she always does, which is do not buy that. Like, don't spend our money on stupid clothes. But as it was New Year's Eve, and we were going to a New Year's Eve party, and she was like, fine.
So she had already started drinking, in other words.
I mean, I don't want to assume, but I don't know how else to explain this.
I just think Betty White or Estelle Getty really would have rocked that sweater. And on you?
Speaking of things that make one feel old, do you know how old Betty White was when that show started?
No, how old was she?
Let me look at it. She wasn't that old.
No, this freaks me out all the time when I watch movies where when I was a kid, these people were very, very old. And they're like 5 years younger than I am now. All right, how old was Betty White? This is important
information. She was actually 63, but she played a 55-year-old.
Wait, she was 63 when she started Golden Girls. So I'm 2 years away from being able to play a part of Golden
Girls. She played a 55-year-old, which is actually pretty great when they're just like, yeah, we don't know how old people are.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I think we should probably take some calls. I don't know. I feel like there was something else. Oh, you know, I was going to ask you something else about that Christmas sweater. Why? Could you explain to the people of the earth, all of whom are now watching you on YouTube because they just wanted to see this sweater? Why are you wearing a Christmas sweater on, what day is it? It is the 8th day of January.
Yeah, I am a big fan of letting Advent be Advent, but that also means letting Christmas be Christmas. And that's not just Christmas Day. You know, the secular world, it's like you've got the so-called Christmas season from, I don't know, it seems like November 1st And then it has an abrupt stop midway through December 25th. And then it says, okay, we're all partied out. Can't do anything more. Sober up and get back to work. And it's just like, that's not how you do it at all. Like, Advent is an actual, you know, season of preparation and a time of not just, like, preparing for a party, but real religious preparation for the coming of Christ. But then once he arrives, that is an event worth celebrating. And an event worth celebrating for days. You know, the traditional 12 days of Christmas, that's not, you know, December 14th to the 25th. That's December 25th to Epiphany. Now, on the liturgical calendar, it actually extends even beyond that. Some people will go as far as February 2nd, but technically on the calendar, it's until the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, which is this Sunday. So I want to wear this until I have to put it away Sunday.
How beautiful, Joe. It's a beautiful sentiment to go with a, I don't know if the word is beautiful for the sweater or, no, I do know the word is not beautiful. I forgot to tell people what the topic of the show is today. Why aren't you Catholic? If you're not a Catholic, go ahead and call. We'd love to talk to you about why you are not Catholic. 888-318-7884. These are always fun shows. You are doing us a favor if you call. You will be treated cordially, probably Joe will probably go so far as to treat you charitably. But if you're not a Catholic, even if you want to tell us we're just full of hot air. Like the other day, a guy, we're having some kind of discussion on Facebook, Catholic group, and he's like, this is all just a fantasy. None of this is real. Like that was his view of Catholicism. Well, that's a, I mean, that may not be the best way to start a conversation, but it's that's a conversation we'd love to have. We don't want to not have that conversation.
Yeah. Mercury was grappling with that in Bohemian Rhapsody.
What did he say in Bohemian
Rhapsody? Is this real life? Is this just fantasy? I mean, I think he was, yeah, caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
All right, listen. All right. Easy come, easy go. We got to move on to take
nice,
some...
Nice stuff.
Thank you. Calls. 888-318-7884. You're okay if I take a call, right, Joe?
Yeah, let's do all Michael right. in Buffalo.
All right. Michael in... Oh, no. You're not going to have a fight with Michael, are you? Because you're from Kansas City and he's from Buffalo. Hi, Michael.
We don't even have any football game this week.
Just so you know, Joe's obnoxious about football.
I mean, in fairness, I'm obnoxious about a lot of things.
Well, that's true. It's not just football. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, hello. You know, every time I call, somebody mentions something about Buffalo when Joe is on the other line.
Yeah, I mean, but the Bills are due. Must be near the start of the month.
But thank you for taking my call. I do have a question regarding explaining the papacy to Protestant friends. And I recently saw a bit of a back and forth between Michael Knowles and Charlie Kirk. And Charlie Kirk kind of had the same argument against the papacy as like any common Protestant who wasn't familiar with the papacy would have. But he kind of used the argument of maybe a pope who doesn't align with certain Christian political values. And I have some friends that are using the same argument that the pope, our current Pope Francis, promotes people who promote values that may not be conservative, or like James Martin or the new Washington Archbishop or Timothy Radcliffe. And how would I explain that the papacy is still valid, even if you don't agree politically with the pope?
Yeah, I think it's actually something of an impoverishment on all sides that we measure this through a kind of political lens. But nevertheless, I see what they mean. I would say this. If the validity of the papacy turned on all popes being holy, but even more, if the validity of the papacy turned on all popes making good appointments and good decisions, this would call into question the whole system. I mean, think about how many people God called directly into leadership throughout Scripture who were not great. You look at the judges and how they kind of availed themselves, and they didn't do a great job throughout the book of Judges. You look at the kings, and they didn't do a wonderful job, the kings of Israel and then of Judah. And there were more bad ones than good ones. So if the standard of God's chosen people or God's chosen leaders is, well, they're going to do a great job and consistently great job, and I'm going to agree with them even on political issues that maybe there's room to disagree, or you're not going to be able to make it very far through the Bible by that standard. because that's just not the real standard. And of course, we find this even with the apostles, with the choosing of Judas in a particular way. But really, I mean, all of the apostles, if you were to kind of make the case against the other 11, I don't think you'd have much difficulty. Maybe John, but the other 10, you could point out several obvious character flaws and ones that were clearly known to our Lord. So if that's the standard that we're trying to hold the Pope to, a standard that even Jesus's own governance directly wouldn't meet, I don't know. That tells me it's not a good standard, not a biblical standard, not a Christian standard that we ought to be using.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, Michael. Are you a football fan? I didn't even get that. Are you?
I certainly am.
Oh, okay. Well, then good luck to you this weekend.
There's this show called Council of Trent, a feller by the name of Trent Horn.
Feller.
And yeah, he, I think, just did an episode on this. I know he did an episode on the Michael Knowles, Charlie Kirk like debate / conversation. I have not seen either the original conversation or Trent's reaction to it, but Trent's consistently good. So I would blindly recommend that as probably a good resource.
Thanks, Michael. Why aren't you Catholic? That's our question this hour. If you're not a Catholic and you're willing to tell us why and have a conversation with us about it, we would love to have that conversation with you. 888-318-7884. You have to be nice to the host. You don't have to be nice to the guests. 888-318-7884.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
He is honored by the Church as a saint and the first diocesan priest to be declared a doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of Avila was known to his contemporaries as a spiritual master, and he served as a guide to some of the greatest saints of the 1500s. He also called for true reform in the Church and was a role model for the priesthood even today. He died in 1569.
To find out more, visit EWTN.com and click on Catholicism.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Why aren't you Catholic? We're Catholic. Joe and I are both Catholic. And Joe is shameless about it. He's called a Shameless Papist. His podcast and YouTube channel is called Shameless Popery, and you should check it out. But if you're not a Catholic and you're willing to talk with some Catholics about why not, we would love to have that conversation with you. 888-318-7884. Also, I think we should have a new policy here that if you call and your name is the same as someone in the studio, you get a free book. I think, what do you think of that, Darren?
I like that.
Darren approves of it. All right. Up next from Omaha, Nebraska, watching on YouTube, Darren in Omaha. Hi, Darren.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
So I was intrigued by the discussions from the standpoint that I was raised Baptist and have been in a non-denominational Christian church most of my life. But here of late, I have been listening to the Catholic radio, and I've found there to be a lot of truths that the different speakers and the different folks on this radio station have been discussing to the point where I find myself highly aligning with what I'm hearing. And I guess the question I have is, there's so many things I don't know about the Catholic faith, and there's so many things that is very traditional and very rigorous, and so how does a non-Catholic dig in deeper to the Catholic faith to understand more about it, to decide is this something that I need to continue to research more and understand more, and find that it could be that
You should come in.
It's a better place for me.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough,
I'm very glad you're asking that question. I mean, I would say the kind of 20,000-foot answer, the reason I'm Catholic is because I'm convinced Jesus came into the world, is who he says he is. And in Matthew 16, when he said he was going to build the church, that he meant not just some invisible idea, but a real visible reality. And that this church has had leadership from the time of the apostles forward, and we can trace it throughout history. And so, obviously, if you want that full story, a 2,000-year story, there's a lot of places you can go to begin that journey. I'm going to suggest three. Number one, the Catechism of the Catholic Church is a great place to just find out, like, what do Catholics believe? And it gives, you know, a short, you know, paragraph or two on particular topics. So it's at least a good way of figuring out what is, you know, what is the Catholic claim and what are the basics of what Catholics believe and why. But the and why might be a little lacking sometimes because, you know, the nature of a catechism is such you're not going to get a full answer to every possible question, but it can at least flag what are the areas I find myself in alignment, what are the areas where maybe I'm still struggling. Second, and if you stay in the line, I'll make sure we send you a copy of this, the book Why We're Catholic by my colleague Trent Horn. He does a good job of just explaining, you know, as the title suggests, why are we Catholic? But third, while I think those are really important steps, it can be very helpful to have someone in your life. Like, I love that you're listening to this show. I love that you're thinking about the things that you're hearing and kind of, you know, pondering them deeply in your heart, as Mary did in Luke 2, where you're not just letting it go in one ear and out another. But it can still be helpful to have someone with you on that journey, someone you can bounce things off of. Now, by all means, please continue to call in whenever you have questions. We love calls like this. I mean, we just started this Why Aren't You Catholic as a recurring segment because we most want to hear from people who are in the shoes that you're in right now. But as I say, it can be really helpful to have someone in person. So I want to actually give you a personal recommendation, because you said you're in Omaha, right? I don't know how far you are from St. Vincent de Paul Church. It's somewhere in the Omaha Archdiocese. It's 14330 Eagle Run Drive, which means nothing to me, but hopefully might mean something to you. A dear friend of mine, Father Patrick Stack, is there, who is charitable, wonderful, would be happy to sit down with you, and is incredibly giving. And so I'm sure, you know, if you're wanting someone who knows his stuff and can answer some of your questions as they come up, so you're not just yelling at the radio, that can be, you know, hopefully a concrete recommendation. And if everyone else in Omaha wants to join the line, just tell them that Joe Heschmeyer sent you.
Is that over by the golf course, the Eagle Run Golf Course there in Omaha, Nebraska? Yeah. It is, Darren?
That I know right where it's at.
Say the name of the priest again.
Father Patrick Stack.
All right. Are you going to look him up, Darren?
I sure am.
All right, but if you stay in line, we'll send you a copy of the book, Why We're Catholic. We'd love you to have it, and continue to call. We're delighted to have this conversation, and we'd be delighted to continue with it. All right?
I sure appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, Darren. Thank you very much. Now, did you give him a free book because his name is Darren or because he's coming into the Catholic Church? Now I'm confused. I don't know.
He's exploring, so he wanted to know, and it seemed very obviously like why we're Catholic would be the right one. Should I have asked him whether he wanted a book about Jesus or about Peter?
No, we don't want to afflict him the first time he ever calls. Aaron in Hastings, Michigan, watching on YouTube, you are up next. Hi, Aaron. You got why aren't you Catholic, Aaron?
I was Catholic, but I fell away, and I was actually spiritually confused.
Okay.
And I'm actually working on trying to come back. I'm just struggling with a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And this is actually a big one for me. So I've actually been going to a Calvinistic church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually wondering, where can you find Mary's perpetual virginity in the Bible?
Yeah. So you have to understand a little bit about how to read the Bible and reading it kind of in a Jewish way. So I'm going to give you a couple different ways to get there. I mean, you know what? I'll give you three. One is, and maybe the most direct, and I think the most irrefutable, is in John 19, when Jesus on the cross looks down and entrusts his mother to the care of John the Apostle. You know, he famously says, "Woman, behold your son." And then he says to John, "Behold your mother." Now, under both Jewish and Christian moral standards, you have a duty under the Ten Commandments, what it means to honor your father and mother. You know, we often talk about that like kids, you know, listen to mom and dad. But that's not what the Ten Commandments are not primarily written for kids, warning them, you know, not to commit adultery and everything. No, the Ten Commandments are written for adults. And honor your father and mother included this duty to care for your parents in their old age. Now, it seems pretty clear from the biblical witness that Joseph is dead at this point. So the Virgin Mary is a widow, and a widow whose son is dying. Now, if Mary had other children, they would have stepped up to take care of her, whether they were believing Christians or whether they were observant Jews. Either way, they would have had this tremendous moral duty. So occasionally, when confronted with this evidence, you'll have Protestants say, oh, maybe Jesus had brothers who weren't believers. And that's an absurd theory. Oh, they didn't believe in Jesus quickly enough, and so he took their mom away from them? Is he social services? Like, what are you talking about? That's not how that works. And even if they weren't believers but were still observant Jews, they would still have taken care of their mom. Even if they just had a modicum of goodness, in a world where you can't just leave a widow, and think about the way Jesus takes care of widows throughout the Bible, the widow of Nain, for instance. Think about, is it James, where he says, true religion is this, caring for widows and orphans? Like, this is a built-in religious duty. And so if Mary had other children, we would have seen them, and we don't. The people that are described as brothers, Adelphoi of Jesus, like James and Joseph, their mother is also, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, is also there at the crucifixion. And is clearly a different woman, because Adelphoi was used by the Jews to mean not just literal biological brothers, but a whole range of relationships like nephews, uncles, and cousins. And so it just means like a male relative of Jesus. So Jesus has relatives that can be called brothers and sisters, but they're not what we would mean by brothers and sisters. They're not even half brothers and sisters. They have a different mom in the case of at least two of them. So I think that's just, you know, very clearly, if you think about the context of John 19, that one I've found is very hard for people to rebut, because it's hard to explain that evidence any other way. Second, and this is where you get into more of a spiritual reading of Scripture, where it's easier to miss these things. Mary is presented as the Ark of the New Covenant. I'm not going to go into all of that just for the reasons of time, but if you compare Luke 1, where Mary goes into the hill country with haste, and she's in the hill country of Judea for 3 months, and Elizabeth says, how can the mother of my Lord come to me? And then you compare that with 2 Samuel 6, where David goes into the hill country of Judea with haste, and he's there for 3 months, and he's trying to move the Ark of the Covenant, and he asks, how can the Ark of the Lord come to me? And then David dances before the Ark, and John the Baptist dances before Mary with Jesus in her womb. Very clearly, Luke is showing us that Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. And the Ark, as you see in 2 Samuel 6, was so holy it couldn't be touched. There's a guy named Uzzah who touches the Ark, and he's struck dead. So that's one of the other reasons we believe in Mary's perpetual virginity, is that she is holy, holy in the original Jewish meaning of set aside for God. Like, the Ark is holy. It only belongs to God. And so you don't use it for a profane use. Likewise, Mary bodily is entrusted to God in a special way. This is then confirmed. The early Christians read the Ezekiel prophecies about the temple in a very similar way. So the last 8 or 9 chapters of Ezekiel are all about the building of a new temple. And on the surface, it looks like it's about a building. But we know that it's not what's going on, because Jesus applies those prophecies to himself. He says, for instance, that streams of living water will flow out of those who believe. He talks about destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. And so he makes it very clear that these prophecies, you know, with the streams of living water flowing from the side of the temple, is fulfilled with the piercing of the side of Christ on the cross. So these are all prophecies, not about a building, but about the incarnation of Christ. And I know that's a lot. There's a lot more we could say on that. But one of the things about the temple prophecies is there is also this prophecy that around the temple, there was going to be a gate. This is in Ezekiel 44. And the angel says, this gate shall remain shut. It shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered by it. Therefore, it shall remain shut. And so the early Christians rightly recognized Ezekiel is talking about Jesus, not a building, and then realized, well, if that's the case, Ezekiel 44 looks like it's describing the perpetual virginity of Mary, that Mary, because her womb has been entrusted to God in this radical way, won't have any other children.
You can probably hear the music, Aaron. That means we got to take a quick break. We'd like to talk with non-Catholics today. If you're not a Catholic and you'd like to tell us why, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
From its earliest days, Catholic faith has been lived by a yearly cycle of feasts and seasons. The new book from Mike Aquilina and Adam Lucas, Feasts of Our Fathers, is a one-stop companion for praying and meditating through the holy days and seasons of the church with help from the most ancient Christian people. Don't just read about the early saints, pray with them. Order your copy of Feasts of Our Fathers now at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Are you a Catholic who's received the gifts of the Holy Spirit at the Sacrament of Confirmation? If yes, it may surprise you to learn that according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, you are strictly obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Don't panic. There's still time. Register today for the Catholic Answers 2026 National Conference. Go and make disciples. You will go forth inspired by great stories of conversion and edified by training in practical evangelization. Our keynote speaker, Chris Stefanik. Also, Father Jeff Kirby will be there. Steve Dawson from the St. Paul Street Evangelization, the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization, will be there. All of our apologists will be there, including our extraordinary guest. Today's guest, Joe Heschmeyer, will be there speaking. We'll do the radio show from there. We'd love it if you'd come. Just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com to find out all about it. It's last full weekend of September right here in beautiful, sunny San Diego. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Why aren't you Catholic? If you're not a Catholic and you'd like to tell us why you're not Catholic, have a conversation about it, we would love to talk with you. 888-318-7884. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the truth. And anyone who knows me knows I don't like to tell the truth, but I'm going to tell you the truth right now. All the lines are open. I do like telling the truth. I'm only kidding, but all the lines are open. That means if you dial right now, you'll be on the air with Joe in like I would say 37 seconds.
Yeah, we're going to underscreen.
We're going to underscreen, yeah. Well, tell Nathaniel that way. Like light screening on these. We need to get the calls in here. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. And, you know, I'll go over to YouTube, see if anybody wants to ask a question over there if these lines don't light up. 888-318-7884. I just want you to know we can do the show without callers. You won't like it, but we can do it. Oh, there we go. All right, let's see. That caller just came in, and I'm going to start the clock right now. I'm going to see if we can get this caller on the air in 37 seconds. Oh, now there's three lines lit up. So in the meantime, Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. You should check out his work at Shameless Popery, shamelessjoe.com, or on his YouTube channel, Shameless Popery. I didn't know what to call the YouTube stuff until recently. Oh, wait, we're close. Only 5 seconds left to get this person on, and I don't even see anything typed in here yet. Is there? Oh, it's Josiah, but that's all I've got. Oh, that's it. That's 37 seconds. We can just
take him live and find out.
No, we can't do that. We can't because I can't get the line until Nathaniel lets it go. But I'll tell you what, we're going to have to give Josiah some fantastic gifts. All right. Well,
In the meantime, while we're just buying time pretty openly here, we were talking before the show about the he's Christmas pagan, and what did you conclude with that?
Oh, I read your article just recently that was on the Catholic Answers website. And people should check out the Catholic Answers website, Catholic.com, because these guys put articles out there regularly and really good stuff is on there. And it's well written because Drew Belsky edits all of it. So it's not just like these guys slapping stuff together. True. There's a real professional editor for it. But you, yours was on the paganism of Christmas. And the thing that you did point out that every time a Christian holiday comes around, there's some magazine, there's some radio show. I heard Little Steven, you know, Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul from Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band. He has a radio.
I know Bruce Springsteen and I know vaguely of the E Street Band.
What a sad life you live if you don't know Little Steven. Well,
what was he the boss? I get him.
No, he's not the boss. He's Miami Steve Van Zandt. The boss is Springsteen himself.
Oh no, that's what I mean.
Okay. Oh yeah,
I the get boss Springsteen and Mellencamp confused. But fair enough. Okay, this story is going really well so far.
Okay, so I was listening to him. He does a nice show on Sirius XM satellite radio where, you know, he plays oldies or great records that you haven't heard for a million years or maybe you never heard, and he helps you appreciate them and all that. But he just, at Halloween time, he started talking about Halloween, how Halloween was Samhain, this pagan festival. And he's just talking like, I don't know, like he reads Newsweek or something, like really like Time Magazine level stuff, really low level stuff. And I thought, well, Joe's right. Every time there's a Christian holiday, there's somebody out there to go, it's not really Christian. The Christians totally stole this from the glorious pagans of
it's
yesteryear.
It's amazing how ignorant that is of just the way cultures work.
That's not how
it
works.
Imagine if I said the Vietnamese have no holidays. All of their holidays they got from the Laotians, the Chinese, whatever.
Yeah.
You'd probably be like, I don't know. It seems implausible that a people never came up with anything on their own. And yet somehow that is the popular opinion of Christian holidays. Like, not one of these holidays actually came from Christianity. Even the ones with, like, saint names, even things like Christ Mass. It's like, oh, that sounds pagan. No, it doesn't. And so it's this very strange history where you had originally this kind of Puritan push because, oh, these holidays aren't in the Bible, so therefore they're pagan, as if anything not in the Bible is automatically pagan. And then you had these like
wheels
19th century.
Oh, no, they have wheels in the Bible. I was going to say like wheels, but you know, wheels are in the Bible.
No, wheels within wheels.
Yeah, that's right.
You like wheels? How about wheels?
It's just that
there's
so many things we have that are not in the Bible.
Exactly.
And
you wouldn't ask that about, you know, you wouldn't say like, oh, 4th of July? Well, I guess you probably don't know this, but that was, you know, ancient Romans used to celebrate liberation too. You're like, that's such a ridiculous kind of premise that everything has to be stolen from some vaguely similar thing somebody else has. You know, it'd be like saying every story is a retelling of Star Wars. Like, yeah, you probably need to read a different book.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm going to come back to you on this because I want to talk about this a little more. But I see now why it took a little while to screen Josiah's call. And that also makes me want to get Josiah on the air as fast as we can. Josiah, are you there with us?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Josiah?
6.
And you listen to this program?
Yeah.
Wow, you are making me happy, Josiah. I'm so glad you're here. Do you have a question that you'd like to ask Mr. Heschmeyer?
Yeah.
All right, please go ahead with it.
Does Joseph have body and soul in heaven?
That is a great question, Josiah. He doesn't have his body in heaven yet, but his soul is in heaven, enjoying God right now. In 1 Corinthians 15... Jesus' resurrection is described as the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. So if you think about, you know, a crop, when like the first bud appears or the first flower appears and you know more are going to be coming, the first sign of spring, the resurrection is like that. It's like the first sign of spring. And so just as Jesus rose from the dead, someday we will all rise from the dead as well. As Catholics, we believe Mary has already been able to experience this. She's second. And then everybody else is coming after that on the last day. And so someday he will be bodily in heaven and bodily united with, you know, his soul in the new heavens and the new earth. But that hasn't happened yet. So it's something we look forward to. And you know what, Josiah, this is something a lot of grownups get wrong, actually, because they'll imagine that the whole point of you know, the Christian life is we die and go to heaven. But actually, the whole point isn't just that we die and go to heaven, but that then we're going to be reunited with our bodies to experience heaven on earth. So we'll be able to be bodily and spiritually in the presence of God.
What do you think, Josiah? Did that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. I would like you, if there's a grown-up there with you that you can put on the phone, we would like to get an address from them, and we'd like to send you a book called The Truth Is Out There. It's not a comic book. What's the thing I'm looking for? Graphic novel.
Graphic novel.
Everybody under the age of 30 in there yelling at me. Graphic novel. Hang on, Josiah or Josiah's mom or Josiah's dad, who's ever on the line now, and we'll get that to you. Thank you, Josiah, very much. 888-318-7884, the number, but all the lines filled up now because people wanted to take us up on this offer. If you're not Catholic and you want to talk to Joe, explain why you are not or have a conversation about it, you're welcome here. Next up is Lonnie in Jackson. I think it's Jackson, Mississippi, but it says Jackson, Michigan. Where are you, Lonnie?
It's Jackson, Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. I apologize. Excuse me. I didn't know there was a Jackson, Michigan. Go ahead with your question for Joe.
So my question is, I was born and raised in Mexico. Spanish is my first language. And what happened was my mother and my grandfather died when I was very young, and I was not able to attend church. And so I've basically been on my own since like 1986. I have a godfather and a godmother. Does that mean I was baptized as a Catholic?
I would say this. Strictly speaking, there are some Protestant denominations that allow godparents. It is more a Catholic thing, but you'll find like Lutherans who will do that as well. But if you have a godfather and a godmother and you were born in Mexico, I'm going to say the odds are looking pretty strong that you were baptized Catholic.
But
Okay, and go ahead.
Do you know, for example, what city or diocese or parish you might have been baptized in?
I do.
Because you can write to them, and they will tell you if they have a record of your baptism.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can find this out very concretely.
Yeah. Just give them all the information you can think of when and under what names you might have been baptized, if there's other possible names, they'll help you.
Lonnie, and okay. Welcome home, it sounds like. You might just be tapping into a part of your spiritual journey that the seeds were planted a very long time ago. Well, maybe not that long.
Well, basically, I'm assuming I am, but I kind of need verification. I think that's a good idea is to write there and find out if they have a record of it.
Well, would you like some books about the Catholic faith? We'd be happy to send them to you if you'd like them.
Sure.
I'll tell you what, if you hang on the line, we've been sending folks Why We're Catholic, but I'll also send you Jimmy Akin's book, The Words of Eternal Life, True Happiness, and Where to Find It. I think you'll find both of these books very helpful. Just hang on. And also, Lonnie, call back sometime and tell us when we'd love to hear what you find out from Mexico. And if we can be helpful with anything else, please call as well. But you hang on right now. We're going to send you that book. I got to take a quick break. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. Why aren't you Catholic? That's the question we're asking callers. And they have been gracious enough to call us and tell us why. More of that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on, we'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Pope Francis tells us, becoming a priest or a man or woman religious is not primarily our own decision. Rather, it's the response to a call of love. Do you feel as if God may be calling you to religious life? If so, contact a religious order faithful to the magisterium or your diocesan vocation. For information on the priesthood or religious life, visit ewtn.com/religious life today.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Joe Heschmeyer, our guest. And lots of folks on the line. There's two lines open now, 888-318-7884. If you're just joining us, we're holding the lines for people who are not Catholic and want to tell us why they're not Catholic. And if you're not Catholic because you don't believe in God and you'd be willing to talk about that with us, we'd love to talk. Maybe you don't believe that Jesus is God, which is one of the core beliefs of the Catholic faith. If you want to talk about that, fine. Maybe you have a moral problem with the Catholic Church, or you're convinced that a particular Protestant teaching, maybe sola scriptura or sola fide or something, whatever your reason is. Or maybe you just, no one's ever invited you to consider it, and so you're not Catholic. Whatever your reason, if you want to talk about it with us, if you're willing to talk about it with us, basically, you're doing us a favor, and we'd love to talk with you. 888-318-7884. Joe, that entire time I was talking, it looked like you wanted to say something. Was I misreading that? Or
no, I was just thinking.
You were just thinking. Try to think with your mouth closed.
I saw one of the calls.
Okay.
Coming. Yeah, I'll do my best.
All right. Jared in Pittsburgh. I can't. Every time they call, it's a football playoff city. I have to resist talking to them about their. I mean, it's not like Pittsburgh's going to win any games, but Pittsburgh, wow. Pennsylvania, Jared, watching on YouTube.
It's a rough time for them. They've been on not the greatest streak of their life.
Hi, Jared.
You should steal man.
I love that coach, though. I love that coach. I always say his name wrong. I always make him Tomlinson, but of course his name is Tomlin. But
yeah, he's the dad.
Hi, Jared. Welcome. We'll try to cheer you up. I know it's going to be a tough weekend there.
Well, it's always a fine weekend when you don't really care about football. So
very good, very good, Jared.
Will say though, I see the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure Joe Heschmeyer is really happy right now.
Yes,
he
was happy 15 times this year, I think, or something like that.
More often than I have any right to be happy.
Okay, so I am Catholic, but I want to play devil's advocate here. One of the questions that I've had is when people are talking about proof that Jesus existed.
Oh, yeah.
They'll obviously point to the fact that the New Testament is ancient documents that have been copied and point to the existence of Jesus of Nazareth. But then they often bring up the secular sources too, Pliny the Younger, Josephus, etc.
Yeah.
And when I read those things, I just have this question of why do they matter? Because couldn't they just be like they came across one day somebody who had in their church the gospel according to Matthew? So like the secular sources in my eyes could be this sort of, they're just referencing a document that references the guy. So why is there so much weight put on these secular
very good
attestations of Jesus?
Well, I'm going to approach the question from a slightly different angle and say, I actually think this is an irrational demand for evidence. The idea that they have to be a non-Christian source that also believes Jesus died and rose from the dead is asking for a very silly thing. Like, if you think Jesus died and rose from the dead, maybe you weren't a Christian source before, but how in the world are you not a Christian source now? Like, how have you not become Christian if you actually believe Jesus died and rose from the dead? So the idea that the various Christians who say, yeah, we actually saw Jesus die and rise from the dead, they don't count because they believe Jesus died and rose from the dead, is a very strange standard for exclusion of evidence. It'd be like saying, I want eyewitnesses to this crime who don't think the guy is guilty. Well, what if everybody knew he was guilty? And, you know, not because of an irrational prejudice, because they followed the evidence. They all saw him do it. Well, likewise, if you actually have hundreds of people who see Jesus rise from the dead, yeah, it makes sense that those people aren't going to stay pagan, that they're not going to stay Jewish, that they're going to become Christian. So I've always found this a very bizarre kind of evidentiary demand. But given that, there are nevertheless several non-Christian sources who mention the core kind of things Jesus said and did. Now, in one sense, you know, obviously they're not close, devoted followers of Jesus. And so you could say, well, how do they know any of that? And they're probably getting it from Christians. But I think that's fine, because one of the things that it points to is the fact that there are Christians in the first century who are convinced that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again. It'd be very hard for that to be the case if Jesus Christ didn't exist in the first place. You know, so to give one example, my favorite bit of early secular evidence is Tacitus, the Roman historian. He's writing about 116, but he was born like mid-first century. And I don't remember, maybe the 50s. And he's writing, and he's from Rome, and he's writing about the Great Fire in Rome in the year 64. And he talks about how Nero persecuted the Christians, who were this despised group. And he hates Christianity. He has no love for Christianity. But he's very clear that they were these followers of this Christus, or Christus. And he knows kind of the basics of it and doesn't have any great deep interest in it. He's clearly not a Christian forger. You know, it doesn't read like that at all. It's sort of a passing mention. But one of the things it tells us from a guy who was an eyewitness is that within about 30 years of Jesus's death and resurrection, there are enough Christians in Rome to be a persecuted minority. And you have to have a certain size population to be a good minority to be picked on by the government. I know that's a weird thing to say, but if there's like three of you, you're not going to make a good scapegoat. So we know there was a sizable enough Christian population, and not just a Christian population, but a population of people willing to be tortured and killed and lit on fire by Nero, willing to die as martyrs for Christianity. So they're very convinced this isn't just like a fun story. They're very convinced that this really did happen. They're dying for it. I don't know how to explain that on a mythological basis. That seems like a completely irrational thing for a lot of people to do. If, you know, like, you may have a favorite Brothers Grimm story or a favorite Aesop's fable, but chances are, if someone said, if you read Hansel and Gretel one more time, I'm going to murder you, you'd be like, fine, I'll put it away. You know, like, you wouldn't go to your death because you loved that story so much. And yet that's exactly what we find people doing, is seemingly thoroughly convinced Jesus is real and is who he says he is. That, to me, leaves a couple possibilities. One, the apostles maliciously lied to a lot of people. And not only the apostles, but hundreds of eyewitnesses who weren't really eyewitnesses all conspired to trick people into alienating family, being persecuted, being tortured and martyred, and for no discernible reason whatsoever. Or Jesus really did live, die, and rise again.
Does that, I just want to come back to you and see if that resonates with you, Jared.
No, that's great. So if I could sum it up, it would be, even if all these secular sources are, say, at, you know, at worst, they're just quoting the early Christian documents, the fact is that there are those documents, and there are enough Christians to be spreading those documents and spreading the life of Jesus.
And existing. Like, Tacitus isn't speaking about documents at all. Tacitus is speaking about the presence of a lot of Christians in the city of Rome. So we know that there was a sizable enough Christian population that they've inspired resentment from their neighbors. So, like, I don't think the secular sources are important because of their deep theological knowledge, because I wouldn't trust them on theology. I think they're important for testifying that, number one, there was this guy, Christus or Christ, who lived and inspired a lot of people. And, you know, sometimes they'll even mention that he was killed under the reign of Tiberius Caesar or Pontius Pilate. You know, they'll have these kind of little biographical details. But I wouldn't expect much more than that from them if they're not particularly interested in Christianity. But that's more than enough to beat the mythological case. Like, the mythological case is absurd. And I don't think there are any mainstream scholars at any accredited university that believe the mythological theory at all. Like, I don't know of one. This is just a thing that spreads on YouTube. And, you know, Richard Carrier's got a PhD, but doesn't actually work at a university. He's a fringe of a fringe. But I think people on YouTube don't know the difference between quacks and real historians.
I'll let you follow that up if you want. This is kind of an interesting conversation. Jared, does that get at what you wanted, or was there any follow-up? Do I have Jared?
Just say one last thing. I don't want to take up any more time. But last time I called, I said thank you to Joe for my wife, because one of your videos had such a pivotal moment for her and her conversion from, like, a more Baptist background. But now I just want to say thank you from me, because I was an atheist for 18 years and actually was just confirmed this past Vigil of Pentecost.
Welcome
and
home.
Joe, your videos had such a big influence in that journey.
I am thrilled to hear you say that, and thank you very much. That means a lot to me, and I'm very happy for you, and for your wife. This is wonderful news.
What a beautiful testimony, Jared. Did you just out of curiosity, did you watch the videos that Joe posts on Shameless Popery, or were these earlier videos?
Yeah, it was a lot of Shameless Popery.
A lot of Shameless Popery. Well.
Yep.
Isn't that Jared? Thanks. I don't know if you have any of Joe's books. We could send you some of them. I would like to send. Joe won't do it. He's really.
Oh
mean,
yeah, that's a good point. You should get some of my books.
I'll tell you what. I don't want to put you.
Actually,
go ahead.
No, there is. And I don't know if it's actually Catholic Answers Press. The one about finding your identity in Christ.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's actually an OSU
book. Not Catholic Answers Press. You picked, he's got two that are not Catholic Answers Press, so I'm going to hang up on you now. Bye, Jared. No, not really. Can we get him a copy of that, Joe? Is there some way to get him a copy of that?
Quite possibly. I mean, if you send your information, I could at least see what I can do on my end.
Who's the press that publishes it?
Our Sunday Visitor.
Our Sunday Visitor, those people are rolling in books. Okay, let's get that. If you're listening, our Sunday
Visitor. You shouldn't
do
that. It's bad for the spines.
that's true. Don't roll in your books. Jared, hang on. We'll just get your information, and then we'll either send it to our Sunday Visitor with a note, or we'll just accidentally delete it. One of those two things is going to happen. You can never tell with us. But what a beautiful thing. What a very beautiful thing. I have to say, at the SEEK conference, Joe, and all the other folks on the line, I'm going to get to you in a second. I don't want to do it right now because there's going to be a break coming up very shortly. But at the SEEK conference, I was very impressed with how many people wanted to tell us that Catholic Answers had meant something to them. You know, the way from it was the thing that brought me into, it was just helpful as I needed to get my questions answered. And that's something that
And to be clear, these are all young people. These are people in college.
Yeah.
And so the sheer number of people who had converted to Catholicism who were there, I was struck by what percentage of the participants were converts. And it was, it gave me a lot of hope. You know, you see this young, inspiring, energetic group of people, which, you know, again, I'm more than twice their age, which I'm not cool with. That's all right. But they are just like, they're on fire. And we're able to play a role. And I think it's really beautiful to know that it really does mean something to them.
Yeah, because I feel like it's such a collective effort here at Catholic Answers. You know, ever since Carl founded it, there's been so many people that have contributed to it. And that clearly, to me, signals a work of the Holy Spirit. And we're just so grateful when people say, yeah, really, it really means something to me. So, Jared, thank you again for that call. Alyssa, Cole, Daniel, Susie, Matt, I'm coming back to you. I'm going to let you tell Joe why you're not Catholic. But we got to take a break. We'll get to that, all those calls right after this with our guest, Joe Heschmeyer, on Catholic Answers Live.